She take my money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town that digs on me. She give me money.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 74 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
So I guess we should preface the show with there is workers doing working things
outside the window.
So if you hear a little bit of construction or noise, that's what that's coming from.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we can't tell them to stop.
Yeah.
This is our, I guess, post-Golden Globe show.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of snuck up on us this year.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, it's on tomorrow.
Yeah. I saw the ad on, like, Friday. Where it was like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing that on Sunday.
This weekend.
We had kind of a busy week for movie-wise because just like pretty much every screener came in this week that we needed. With the exception of Nebraska, we've pretty much rounded them out. So in a marathon weekend viewing, we caught up on everything. Let's see, Wolf of Wall Street, Captain Phillips, Frozen, Dallas Buyers Club, August County, August Orange County, August Osage County, whatever the fuck that is. Blue Jasmine. Walter Mitty.
You're next.
Yeah,
that's not an Oscar though.
Yeah.
I mean,
we did watch other movies for fun, but because we needed a break from the fucking tragic true stories of everybody's life. I think we had this problem last year, last episode. Kind of going back and I just feel like last year there wasn't that many heartbreaking true stories.
No,
there was a lot of true stories.
I thought last year was
It was more like the King's Speech, although granted that was 2 years ago. The King's Speech isn't like we're fucked up as a human race.
Right.
It's just, oh, that was a really interesting story about that guy's life.
Yes.
But
these were all based on true story, and oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah,
and that's what, I don't think I was. It wasn't a god, we suck as a people.
It was, oh, that's interesting, or not so much.
But I
feel like we're leaving stuff out, but I'm sure we'll come up with it.
The lone
survivor we talked about last week.
We did. Okay. I can't think of any others.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm sure if there's a... So, let's kind of go through them before I talk about what I really want to talk
about.
Yeah,
so let's... Spoiler alert.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about movies, and you may not have seen them.
So here's a few things. Number one, there's nothing worth spoiling. I mean, I think the longest conversation we're going to have is August Osage, because we've already had a pretty heated discussion about that already, and there's nothing spoiler in that at all. But Walter Mitty, and here's another thing too, they were all over 2 hours.
Yes.
So, good Wolf Lord. Wall Street was 3 hours long.
And did you think that was necessary? I mean,
no, that could have easily taken 45 minutes out of that movie. I didn't mind it. I mean, it was entertaining. It never stopped being entertaining.
Yes, no, I agree about that.
But, the story did not need to be 3 hours long. There was a whole... The first hour of that movie is really sort of him...
Let's just
rising,
spend some money. Well...
His origin story.
Right.
Of him. So it's the first hour is his origin story of how he raises... How he starts making tons of money. The second hour is nothing but debauchery and spending money. And then the third hour is the complete downfall of having said money and doing illegal shit. Which is, it's the same story of Goodfellas, you know, punk on the street, rises to power, makes a lot of money, fucking blows it because the feds catch on to you. that movie's 2 hours long. Martin Scorsese knows how to tell that story in 2 hours. Yeah. Didn't need to be 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it did help. I mean, like, I told you I wanted to go see it in the theater. I was going to trick you and not tell you how long it was. And then I told you, and you were like, yeah, we're not going to movies to see that. So it helped watching it at home because we paused twice. We took a we took two breaks.
Yeah.
We had to. But all of them... Oh, Her. That was the one. We watched Her.
That was good.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about Her. All of them were actually better than I thought they would be.
I agree. I expected to not like half of them.
Yeah, you were totally railing on Captain Phillips. Like, you spent a week bitching about having to watch Captain Phillips. And 2 minutes in, you had already made like 16 snarky comments about the movie. And you looked at me and you're like, am I not allowed to make fun of the movie? Is that going to annoy you? I'm like, it doesn't have to be every 30 seconds. Yeah. But once the movie started going, I think you were invested, it ended up being a lot better than both of us thought.
Right.
I have huge problems. Here's my biggest problem with Captain Phillips. You have a crew of 30 and four skinny dudes with guns.
Right.
And they never
run out of bullets, by the way. Yeah, they're running around in shorts, no shirt, sandals, and no bullets on them.
You know the ship. They don't. How do you not overpower those dudes?
Right.
I mean, maybe I have that John McClane mentality of, like, Die Hard on a boat.
Right.
But
technically, they're not military. It wasn't, you know what I mean?
But I mean, still, it's
you're
like...
You're seamen. Just because I'm seamen, does it make me a good fighter? I don't know. Does
but
it?
They were able to overpower one of them.
Right.
And injure another one. What I'm saying is they did a good job of splitting the four up. I could see not taking all four at one time.
Right.
But they did a good job.
But once they got one guy's wandering out there by himself.
Take him down.
There's 30 of us. We can do that.
You don't need to know how to fight to be able to sneak up behind somebody and clock him over the head with a wrench. And take the gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, I want to look up the actual... I know it's based on a true story, but based on Tom Hanks' interviews, he kind of rolled his eyes a little bit at, like... You know, we're saying pirates. It's not pirates. Like, he's like, they weighed 90 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's pathetic. They're looking for food.
Right. Right.
You know, it's...
No, and that... Part of the problem that I had with that, which, again, not knowing the actual story, you looked up some of it. I didn't want to look up any of it.
Right.
But there's a halfway point where they actually get off the boat, and the second hour is actually them making their escape, which made a lot more sense. Once that happened, because for the first half of the movie, I was like, really? Like, four guys? Like, just,
yeah,
no, just four guys
pathetic.
On a boat?
Yeah.
That's huge. It just doesn't make sense to me. But when they shrunk it down and got them into that little escape boat.
Yeah, then
it was like, okay.
That's what I want to find out if that part is true.
Right.
Because that's pretty tense.
And then the SEALs came in and the rescue attempts.
And then we were still... they did it brilliantly, obviously. Right. But I was still like... Couldn't they just, and why didn't he do, you know,
right.
There's like, now there's 900 of you against four.
Yes.
There's really, there's no other way, we just, yeah.
But it was really good, and Paul Greengrass, who did the last two Bourne movies and Flight 93 and stuff like that, I mean, he's a guy that knows how to do sort of dramatic tension with a nice hint of mild action.
Yeah.
So it was
mostly
really
Tom Hanks getting his ass kicked all the time, so.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah. The guy who played the leader of the band of pirates was fantastic. He got nominated for a Golden Globe.
I feel so bad about the comments that we were making about him. Like, well, those can't be his teeth. No. It was just mean.
And literally, we found out during the Golden Globes, which any of you who watch Golden Globes knows, he was a limo driver in Minnesota. Like, we thought for sure that they had casted in Somalia or Africa. But no, they found this dude in Minnesota. And he's amazing.
He is.
Tom Hanks, I think it took a while for him to get into character. Like, I felt like... I know they don't shoot in order. But it felt like at the beginning, like the first 20 minutes, he was still trying to find the accent.
Right. Yes, yes. I noticed that it got a lot more...
it got better.
Got more pronounced.
Yeah,
his accent.
Granted, they probably didn't shoot in order, so that might just have been a weird day. Yeah, whatever. But once he nailed it, he nailed it.
Yeah.
And really, that performance... You know, Tom Hanks is a great actor, but it wasn't... He didn't really shine until, spoiler alert, which it's a true story, so you know the answer.
Yeah.
He gets rescued. And when in his...
Yeah, then he gets to do some stuff, yeah.
His slow breakdown on when he gets rescued of, like, going from joy to shock to complete, like, just... emotional breakdown
I'm
had to stay
sure
strong
shock, yeah.
for like 3 days
yeah.
and then now it's all
over.
I
cannot do this anymore. Yeah.
I mean, you want to see a master actor, a double Academy Award winning, doing fine work, and which we'll talk about the
we
female
do need
side
to look
of Kate
up that,
Blanchett.
That nurse to see if she's actual military.
That nurse was not an actor. I'm telling you, she's not an actor.
Well, she's really good if she wasn't.
She seemed like she was straight out of reading the manuscript from the naval.
Whatever they take it when they're taking care of injured guys. That's a military guy wants you to talk to him. That he wants A normal civilian wants a fucking hug.
Yeah.
Damn it! Let's just take him hostage for 3 days. Hug me.
Anyway, so no, that actually. Captain Phillips was good.
Yes.
Walter Mitty was...
Good.
Good. I'm not the biggest Ben Stiller fan, and he... The story was compelling enough to where... And he wasn't doing his Ben Stiller thing. There was a couple of times he did it, which was slightly annoying, and I can't even think of when it was, but... That was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And
I had no idea what that was about, so.
I knew he fantasized. I thought it was all. I thought it was going to be just all about his fantasy world.
Okay.
I didn't realize he actually went out and did shit.
And did stuff. Yeah, I know. That's, yeah.
And that was really fun to watch.
Yes.
Although
still unbelievable when you think about somebody who's been working in an office for 15, 20 years, and now they're hiking the Himalayas on their own.
Right. That was a great story.
That was one of the parts that was a Ben Stiller. When the guides were getting him, and they go, you have to go that way, and we go this way, but nobody spoke English.
Oh, yeah. That was fine, though. I really liked that scene.
I thought it was funny, but that's a Ben Stiller-y kind of comedy that he would do.
No, I'm trying to... It's not his comedy. It's his facial... It's his intonation when he says certain things. And there was a couple of times where he... It was like when he was dealing with Adam Scott... Adam Scott's character, the boss, the evil boss. I think there was just a few times where, like at the end when he confronts the boss, and he kind of delivers his speech. There's these nuances that he has in his when he performs that just kind of irritates me.
Well, that's picky.
I
like.
I know you do.
I date him.
I know. Well, let's see what else. If anyone wins the Academy Award for acting, it's got to be Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club.
And we know why.
That was the best male performance that we saw.
Well, he was
second best. Because the even though he's up for supporting and not lead, seriously, Jared Leto as Rayon in that, plays a transgendered
and we didn't even know it was him for I did not know it was him until I said something. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he completely disappears into that character and is fucking phenomenal. And
McConaughey stepped out of his all right
yeah, he was able to sort of it's the best work he's ever done.
Yeah, I think so too.
It doesn't, you know, and it helps that he lost a ton of weight. story, the movie itself is fucking depressing as shit.
Yeah. You gotta mix a little comedy in there somewhere. I think we went light after that.
Yeah, no. And I mean, they did a good job of sort of, I mean, that was a rough time. I mean, it was 1987. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knew what AIDS was.
Still trying to figure out what's the drug, the pharmaceutical companies.
In fact, I didn't even know really that the movie, I knew what the movie was about going in, but I didn't know that the overall theme was, like, the drug companies were fucking these people over.
Right.
And not allowing them to essentially.
That was some shady shit. And you think that doesn't go on right now, too? That shady shit with the pharmaceutical company?
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, we're doing a study. Only give them this.
Right.
They're not guinea pigs.
That was, yeah, that was a great movie. Let's see. Before we get to her, because I'm trying to say, like, try to get through the ones that we don't have much to say.
Right, right.
Frozen, cute.
Adorable.
I have no problems with Disney movies being musicals.
Okay, and a little bit darker now.
Yeah, I guess this one was fairly darker.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Disney movies being musicals. We're fairly used to it. Every 3 seconds, mm-hmm. somebody busts into a song. But I don't know why. I didn't see that movie and it didn't give me an understanding of why everyone's going ape shit over that fucking movie. Like, it's been killing at the box office. And it's not like, I get it, kids have limited options.
Exactly,
and stuff like
that's
that.
Their only movie out.
But I mean,
the little kids.
Fucking adults have been, you know, of all ages. Everyone that I've taught, oh, have you seen Frozen yet? Or, you know, are you going to go see Frozen? What do you think of Frozen? And it's like, it's just a Disney movie. I didn't see it.
You know what? I think I want to say that the last one that came out, The Braid, the girl.
That's Pixar, but.
I'm just saying, as far as kids' movies go, yeah. I didn't think it was.
Yeah.
Top in the last 10 years or anything like that.
Well, the last Disney movie that was made in this style, sort of the, like, they have the Pixar division, mm-hmm. and then Disney still does their CG animation. Mm-hmm. The last one they did was Tangled.
That's the one I was talking about.
This is the same group that does.
Yeah.
You're talking about.
No, Tangled. I'm going to say I like that one better than.
I don't remember it. I remember watching it. I just don't remember.
I remember laughing a lot.
Yeah.
More. I mean, this one had some ha-has, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had your snowman character, which was hysterical, and voiced by Josh Gad, so he always delivers. But even then, his time on screen, you know, when you think of, like, Eddie Murphy as the dragon in Mulan,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a huge part as the comedic element of that movie. Josh Gad doesn't even show up until, like, the 45-minute mark.
Right.
And then he's only got a few one-liners.
His lines are like, whoa, because I'm falling apart.
Right.
Right? I mean, so it's not even in lines. It's,
yeah.
Just make these sounds.
No jokes. It wasn't. Yeah. There was only a couple of jokes. I don't know. I just didn't see why people were losing their shit. And actually...
No, I didn't even know they were.
So. Actually, being someone who grew up on traditional animation, my biggest problem with the movie, I was disappointed it was CG. I really wanted it to be drawn out. Like, and I don't even think Disney does that anymore, or they ever plan on doing that ever again. Which is sad, because there's something to be said for...
It's called progress.
I know, but...
They'll tweak it.
I hope so.
You know what? They'll probably put a filter on it and make it look like the old style of drawing.
Yeah, I know. They'll do a CG. They'll do a CG model and then make it look like it was hand-drawn.
Sepia, that good for you? Okay.
but yeah, it was good.
I think we watched that after we watched the Matthew McConaughey movie, so it was like, oh yeah, we need something ridiculous.
No, we watched it after Captain Phillips, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so we had good light ones to stick in. We're like, oh my god, that's so depressing. I want to kill myself now.
But my ho-hum feeling about Frozen, put a pin in that, because that's going to be sort of the core of the discussion that I want to have. So, going to kind of a couple of movies that we were not fully aware of, I mean, we knew what they were about, didn't know anything about them, if that makes sense. But two movies that we both really liked was Blue Jasmine mm-hmm. and Her. Let's talk about Blue Jasmine first. You have to see this movie strictly for Kate Blanchett's performance. I'm fairly guaranteed that she'll win the Oscar. Say,
I don't even remember. Did this come out like early in the year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm middle, I think, okay. Maybe. Woody Allen's movies always come out to a very limited audience, you know.
I know. I'm like, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You know, his storytelling ability is fantastic, and you know.
But she made it.
Yeah.
She sold that story.
Sure, there is absolutely no reason. Her, much like McConaughey, her performance was the best performance I saw all yeah. year. And there were fairly stellar performances. You know, Julia Roberts did well in August, mm-hmm. and you know, Meryl Streep, fine, whatever.
When does she not?
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I mean,
eat your fish, bitch.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. We're gonna be using that. So.
Yeah, I mean, her performance is just fantastic, which really makes the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, she's such a shithead, but yet she's so fucked up.
Which one are you talking about?
Kate Blanchett.
Okay, yes.
She's such a shithead, but she's so fucked up, and this delusional world of, I mean, Woody Allen is famous for creating amazing characters, yeah. and especially amazing female characters, and he definitely hits out of the park, and her performance hits out of the park,
and it makes
too.
It the way the character is told, you want to root for her, even though she's so stupid. You know, you're like,
well, yeah,
what
you
the
kinda...
fuck world are you living in? Stop being so rude. But I really want somebody to take care of you. Please marry her. That guy. I wanted that guy to marry her so bad.
I know.
Take care of her. She can't do.
There
this.
Was a, speaking of that, going back to Captain Phillips, but a testament to. Bad guy's performance was Alex was watching it with us and said he's doing an amazing job because I hate him but yet I feel sorry for him and want him to
yeah.
not get you know
killed. Yeah. I want you to come out yeah, with something.
I was afraid, that's what she said. He was menacing in a way that a 90-pound guy could be with an AK, but at the same time he was exuding this, like, yes, but I'm doing this because it's my job and
right,
I'm poor
right,
and
right.
shitty. Anyway, yes, Kate Blanchett, definitely feel sorry for her, but yet you don't because she says some of the most absurd,
rude.
Shitty things. Rude.
Rude, rude, rude. Rude.
Yeah.
You do not deserve to be helped, but you're so pathetic, I didn't need somebody to help you. It's
yeah.
just...
I mean, this is not a spoiler in any way, because it's in the trailer, but I mean, she has breakdown moments, and again, much like Tom Hanks in Captain Phillips, when she breaks down,
she was doing it every
down.
15 fucking minutes though in the movie. It wasn't
well,
like
yeah.
this is my
but,
one
mean,
big last hurrah. She was like,
but when she
going
did it,
from
I mean,
happy to blah. And,
when she did it, like I mean, her body, she got
yeah.
her body to tremble.
Yeah,
and. It was just fantastic. And yeah. that in the final scene, one of the things that I was actually amazed by, there's a final scene where she kind of comes back, her life is falling apart again. Big spoiler, trust me, it's not. And she takes a shower, she gets dressed, and she just starts walking the streets. And she ends up on a bench, and she delivers her final...
crazy speech.
Monologue, soliloquy, whatever. Wow. And one of the most amazing things about that performance was not only was she doing her breakdown thingy, but either the makeup artist gave her makeup to make her look like she was not wearing makeup,
uh-huh.
or she actually did that scene without makeup on.
I'm sure that they made her look like she didn't have makeup.
But she looked... I strongly think that she did that scene without makeup on.
Okay.
And just that in and of itself, the vanity of that character, the vanity of actresses in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
the vanity of Hollywood itself, amazing.
That you walk out with brave. Wet hair. Wet
yeah, hair she, her and, hair was yeah. wet and no makeup, and I delivers this that. Thing, and it's it, that that hooked me into the like the last scene was like, oh, this movie's genius.
Yeah, I'm unhappy with the. The ending's not final, really. You said one thing, I said fine. Another, and yeah, I was like, oh, you think? I don't know. Maybe I do.
Yeah, but you know what? I think your idea of the ending I put in your head before. Before oh, we crazy got song? There, you know, the,
I went another way. Oh no! That's what I'm saying. I went another way.
Well, maybe. I mean, whatever.
That's
it wasn't
the part.
It wasn't that deep. I think we talked about it for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and it was over.
And it was like, you were like, well, I think she did this. And I said, well, I don't know. I think she did this. And then it was like, all right, so what's next?
Yeah.
it wasn't a heated debate for hours.
It was gonna, whatever she was going to do, it was going to be messy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it was going to be. It's going to be messy.
But my version's right.
Uh-huh. No, well, when I talk to Woody, I will let you know.
Yeah, okay. But more importantly, it's definitely going to be in my top three of favorite movies for this year. This year being 2013, quote unquote.
Gotcha.
Her was phenomenal, and I can honestly say right now that I would have totally fallen in love with my OS and had phone sex with it. If it sounded like Scarlett Johansson.
Literally in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I'm like, I want one of those. Why has nobody invented that yet?
Okay.
What the hell?
Bad time to bring that up because I'm talking about fucking my OS. You're talking about how awesome the OS was in terms of what it could do.
The OS was so awesome, you want to fuck it. That's yeah. No, it ties right in. That's it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin Phoenix does a great job in his performance, but because he essentially has to act to no one for most of the movie, he's acting to a voice, and, you know, she was there, and she did takes in the room and out in the
room.
Yeah,
she said, like, every scene was shot, like, 5 times.
Right.
Ridiculous.
But...
I did notice an eye roll on her for that one, too, by the way.
No, it was such a... original movie, but yet not again. Here's the beauty, and talking about writing and being original and sort of breaking into this business, Spike Jonze has always done original, off-the-wall stuff. I mean, that's what he's known for. And the beauty of this was that you have an original idea where you can walk into a room and you say, okay, well, I'm going to tell a love story where a guy falls in love with his OS, with Siri. Whatever you can imagine the pitch 1,000 ways, and the executives would be like, "That's fucking weird, but I love it. Let's make that movie." And then you watch the movie, and it's nothing more than a romantic comedy. I mean, boy gets girl, which just so happens the girl is a robot. Boy loses girl, boy gets girl back, and then there's like a tragic ending to it in a weird sort of way
if
anybody thinks that Joaquin Phoenix is going to have a happy ending with his by falling in love with his computer and they were going to live happily ever after, you're
obviously
stupid.
That's not
that wasn't going to be the ending of that movie. That wasn't how that was going to go. But for the most part, the just the structure of the story was, I mean, you could take, I don't know, you could take a movie like Pretty Woman and just overlayer the beats when things happen, and it happens exactly the same thing.
What's weird is that they made it believable. I could actually see if that were to occur, that our OS got that advanced. I totally see people. I mean, people are checked out as it is now with their phone,
right?
And it does nothing.
And
it does nothing but text or play games.
Here's the other thing too: is that even though in its story structure it is not original, some of the things conveyed are completely. I mean, he's making a social statement.
Yeah,
about,
you could see things going that way. We're perfectly happy if we don't have to see you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. It's our. Moving towards being isolated, moving towards
and being okay
social
with it.
Awkwardness.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the entire movie, other than just listening to Scarlett Johansson have phone sex. But my favorite part of the movie was the fact that when he sort of came out of the closet saying that he was dating his OS, nobody gave a shit. It was like, really? Yeah, How's that going for you?
His ex did. For obvious reasons.
Yes, but his ex had a problem with it because she saw him doing all of his social awkwardness isolation thing. And, right. Now you found a true... It wasn't really about him dating the OS.
Right, right.
It wasn't like, you're dating a black chick?
Yeah.
No, it was really more about, you just found a way to do your shitty thing.
Without having a real person involved.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, everybody else was like, good, let's double date.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's funny. Not so much heartbreaking in any way, but I mean, it's funny. It's interesting. It's
logical, intelligent. It makes sense. You can totally see it going exactly like that.
Yes, and even when the spoiler alert relationship starts having problems, what's so fucking hysterical about the problems is that the problems are textbook. Like, you know, when the jealousy issues, the things that Joaquin Phoenix says when he's feeling jealous, and the things that she says when she starts to learn about jealousy. Mm-hmm. Are straight out of, like, you don't say that.
Right.
That's the one thing you don't say.
And they, all we could relate it to, though, is life now. Oh, my God. If you break up with your OS, they are going to fuck your shit up.
Yeah, right.
You can say goodbye to your hard drive.
Yeah.
You don't piss off your OS if you're in it. I just saw so many problems that could have went wrong with that. You know what I mean?
And my biggest question that I had, which just goes to show how, like, fucked up in the head I am, was I'm watching the entire movie and I'm like, what are the fucking makers, like, if Bill Gates or Steve Jobs had made this AI OS system that is able to learn on its own, like, what do they think about when people start dating them and that becomes like a public trend?
They want to charge for it, I'll bet your ass that. There's gonna be a fee for that
one. It's just like, Jesus, I mean, I could imagine just sitting on my throne of money being like, really, you had to fuck it?
Yeah.
Like you couldn't, right? Just be happy with it checking your email and searching Google a little bit faster. No, you had to have sex with it.
Oh my God, that video game.
The video game was hysterical.
Somebody invent that too.
Which props to Spike Jonze, because he was hitting some James Cameron levels of like original inventions of like, holy shit, I want that.
I love when they do that, because if anything, it means it's based on something that's already in development and they found out about it, or somebody will go, that's a really cool thing, I'm going to go invent it.
And one of my other favorite things about the movie too was Joaquin Phoenix's job. He works as
so adorable.
He works as a letter writer, and I can't remember the name of the website he worked for, but it was like
beautifulletters.com.
Beautifulhandwrittenletters.com. Beautifulhandwrittenletters.com.
Right.
And the funny joke about that is they're not handwritten. So he sits in front of his computer. People paid him to write a letter. So like, if I wanted to send my mom a thank you note,
right,
I would email an order, a thank you note to my mom, give them a minor amount of detail, maybe send a picture. And then Joaquin Phoenix's job is to write a thank you note.
But he just verbally...
He's
dictating it.
He's dictating it to his computer.
The computer's writing it in cursive.
And then he prints it out. And then at the end of the day, which I thought was great, is he he puts them in an envelope, scans the letters that he wrote that day, and puts them into this like copy... It looks like a copy machine, but it's actually, number one, he's delivering them, and number two, he's getting paid by letter.
Right.
And it's just so absurdly funny.
Making that social statement
of the lack of personality.
Yeah, is almost more severe than falling in love with your OS, if you ask me. Number one, nobody handwrites letters anymore. It just isn't done. and on top of that, the fact that you get to the point, I mean, he had people that he was their letter writer for eight years during their whole marriage. I wrote every anniversary letter, I'm like, if that woman found that out, how would she feel about that?
But see, here's the thing. I don't think, I mean, that's like,
she probably think it was okay. That's well, what they I mean, do.
Look, if you want to make a social argument about this, it's the same thing as going by a Hallmark card. If you go buy a Hallmark card and you pick a card out because you don't have the ability, like, oh, this card is the best sentiment. It's
closest that, to what I want to say.
And then I just sign it.
Right.
Like, all of these other people's true. Words, yes. I mean for you.
Right. This guy wrote this, you'll really like it. Yeah. No, that's
so I guess it's really no different.
No, that's true.
And maybe even to a certain extent a little bit more personalized because little tidbits of factoids of your life or personality is being put into the letter.
Right.
But that's the kind of shit that when we sit around week after week and talk about originality,
that's
the kind of shit that...
smart. Yeah, that's so hard to do.
And yet, the movie as a whole, not original.
No, because it's a standard.
It's a standard boy
but
meets girl.
How awesome is it that you can make the content of it so original that you don't even care that it's boy meets girl, boy loses girl, you know what I mean?
Right. Okay, so before we get into August, let's talk about Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it in terms of it being long, but
you had more to say about that?
Well, we didn't actually talk to the movie about the movie itself. You hate Leonardo DiCaprio much like I hate Ethan Hawke,
right?
So but at the end you totally gave props to Leo, and in any other year, if Matthew McConaughey had not given him that performance, I think Leo finally would have gotten his Oscar.
Bummer that he's coming up against that.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal. And again, you want to see a master actor. This was Matthew McConaughey's performance was my favorite performance by a male actor as a whole.
Uh-huh.
Leo's performance had my favorite acting moments, where there's a scene towards the end where shit starts falling apart, where they take like super level Quaaludes, which, by the way, if any this movie set in late 80s early 90s,
most the
cocaine fine, but like they're super hooked on Quaaludes.
Yeah,
and they don't even make Quaaludes anymore. And I think the young people listening to the show might have to Google Quaaludes to figure out what they are.
Yes, probably.
My parents used to do Quaaludes, and they're 60s and 70s people, so that was just a thing.
Yeah.
But
not during work.
Well,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the shit they were putting together in this movie, the drugs they were putting together, I'm like, why haven't more of you died yet? I don't. What the hell?
Well, I mean, so and so did have a heart attack. Like they said it. So and so had a heart attack like 33.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a scene where Leo has to get away, or Leo has to go make a phone call, and he's completely stone sober, but he's taken a shit ton of Quaaludes. But because they're like 20 years old, they thought that it wasn't affecting them.
Yeah.
It wasn't affecting them, so they just kept taking more. And then there's a slow delay, and he literally, the change was instant because they took so many of these fucking super Quaaludes.
Right.
And the performance, when he goes from sober to fucked up in 2 seconds, and it's literally a line of dialogue, which I thought was fantastic, and it didn't even dawn on me. It was, the acting was so fucking good that it didn't even dawn on me what had just happened. Because he found a way to, he's on the phone with a lawyer or a PI guy or something, and he says one line of dialogue. The guy says on the phone says something else, and then the second line of dialogue halfway through the sentence
is blah, 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 blah.
And he said it in a way that your brain knew what he said.
And then you were like, wait a minute, he didn't actually say that. He's babbling.
And then...
yes,
and then,
I remember that.
And then the third line is all babble. And the guy's like, are you fucking high right now? And when he says, are you fucking high right now, it clicks in Leo's brain, it clicks in our brains,
Right.
And it was just a phenomenal, like, holy shit, he's fucked up. But I didn't even notice he was fucked up.
Yeah.
And
until he drops.
Well, and then so that's acting awesomeness right there. But then the next 5 minutes is a physical achievement because he can't walk. I mean, he's so fucked up, which they say in the movie, it's like he has cerebral palsy. I mean, he's right. on the floor and he's got to crawl to his car. And there's some visual comedic things that they do, like he's only got to go down 4 steps, but they make it look like 20.
Right.
And, like, he's basically got to fall down.
Keep rolling his body.
And then he gets back to the house, and there's this fucked up, and also fucked up as in high, fight scene between him and Jonah Hill, and they're both fucked out of their skull on Quaaludes, and neither of them can move or speak, and their two actors are yelling at one another, fighting, and the fighting is comical. Like, at one point, Jonah Hill grabs, like, the doggy dish for the water bowl and, like, goes to hit Leo in the head, but actually just kind of hands it to him. Like, here, take this. Like, it was
they think they're fighting, but
it's so funny, but so amazing. And I will say that
I think Johnny did pretty good.
That's my biggest disappointment about the Oscars, we don't know yet because right. the Oscar nominations haven't come out. Right. But that's my biggest disappointment is that there's been no love for Jonah Hill. No, I mean, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
Especially with those fake ass bleached teeth that he was rocking.
Yeah.
You know, that dude's a funny dude, but mm-hmm. you want to talk about a comedian that started out in comedy and has been able to break out in
everything.
I mean, he
yeah.
was phenomenal in Moneyball. He's even more phenomenal in this. And, you know, you got to imagine that having a director like Martin Scorsese direct you.
It's scary.
You're going to take it up to the next level. You're going to deliver some shit
right.
that you probably don't normally deliver. But when he's fucking coked out and drunk at parties. I mean, his performance is just amazing.
Yeah. Believable.
Also have to give a nod to Wolf on Wall Street for its record-breaking number of fucks in the movie. They have landed the Guinness...
What was it?
506 fucks.
That is... They literally... It was every other word, basically.
So. Yeah, and you know...
It didn't upset me that much, you know? That's
that's a funny
normally
thing.
Normally, it's very distressing to me when I hear...
I was just going to say that, coming from us, it didn't even...
Yeah, but there's a difference between Godfather kind of fuck. You know, one of those guys says fuck to you... Or to his family.
Oh,
or
yeah,
to whatever.
They were just like fucking fuck, fuck.
Yeah,
fuck,
yeah, they
fuck,
were just using it
fuck.
Almost comedically. Yeah. So it was
like,
just
you,
like.
Are you fucking
instead
fucking
of
kidding
the,
me?
You
yeah.
put in fuck.
Right.
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, they're all doing it, so.
Okay, so let's get into this before we wrap this up. But August County, August Osage County. All right, so. Julia Roberts gave a fantastic performance. Let's put that out there. Let's
yes.
start with the positives. there is a scene which made us fucking crack up.
Okay, I want to preface this whole thing. This was written to such a limited amount of audience. There's only going to be very few people who find the same kind of humor. If you have dealt with a crazy, dying mom... You are totally going to get this. And she probably said everything I always wanted to say to my mom while she was being crazy.
Well, and she was a pill addict. She was a terminal cancer
mm-hmm.
patient.
She's dying.
She was just a mean fucking bitch on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So of those three combined with putting the family all together in one house.
Sisters. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
there,
a good idea.
There was... the cast was phenomenal, but yes, it did ring true. Like, my extended family's fucked up so much so that I don't talk to them anymore. But there were instances where it's like, it hit more home for
it
you.
It totally did.
But
yeah,
I understood
you could see it through my
yes,
eyes.
Yes, well, and so. I understood. There was a couple of times where, like, sisters were going at it at one another, and it's like, I've seen my aunts do that.
Yeah.
That's... So what?
Yeah.
You know, props to, there was only one moment where shit got down to fisticuffs, and it was only because Julia Roberts was trying to wrestle pills, a pill bottle for Meryl Streep.
Which I have totally done before, I
mean,
with my mother.
And that's not, I mean, she pushed her. She pushed her down.
She tackled her. Tackled her.
No one swung at
anybody. No, there was no punching.
I've had the swinging. Fights have broken out. I've seen that shit. Uh-huh. Yeah. But here's the thing. I would never write a movie about my family because who the fuck gives a shit?
Right.
And that was my biggest problem with this movie. Like, why do I care? Yeah, your family's fucked up. I got it. So?
In this specific way.
And
it's not... And look, you can't even just...
I'm going to imagine that this movie is probably not on too many... Like, it's not high on people's lists. So we're probably going to just spoil the shit out of it. Which, by the way, there's no fucking spoilers. Nothing happens.
You are going to guess what happens. Yeah, I mean,
Nothing happens. Nothing happens. And then not only does nothing happen, but there's no... when we argued about this, we didn't argue. We had this a discussion about this for like 15, 20 minutes about like, what was the fucking movie even about? Like, what was the message? What were we supposed to get from that?
Moral story.
Nothing. Okay. It's just like, here's a slice of life of my fucked up family. And it's like, well, great. And?
No, actually, one of the things at the end of the movie... Okay, so if you are the one of the children of somebody who is like this... there will come a point where they're going to piss you off so bad you're going to walk out.
Yes.
Are you not coming back, or are you coming back to take care of them?
Right.
As a child, you're going to come back to take care of them. Julia Roberts' character does not come back, which is also something you really think about. Well, I'm done with this. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm out.
Actually, there was more argument about this in the ending of Blue Jasmine,
right.
Because technically, you don't know.
Right.
I'm making a guess... that based on the look on her face of happiness as she's driving off is I'm fucking done with the family.
Right.
I'm out. Fuck them.
I give that 2 days.
Yes. But we also gave her relationship with Richard Gere 2 days in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
But in the movie as a whole. Because you wanted to... That was the other thing that was frustrating about this discussion is you wanted to talk about real life. And I'm like, no. Just in the context of what we saw in the movie... You kept bringing in, like, look, this is what's going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but what happened in the movie?
Right,
nothing happened in the movie.
No, but that just lends to saying there's a very... You've literally written something that's going to... 1,000 people. You know what I mean?
This is... And this was my biggest complaint about the movie, which it was written...
Who wrote that?
I don't know the person's name, but it was written by a playwright. It was originally a play...
Right.
The playwright actually adapted it for the screen, and the performances, although good, there were so many fucking moments where I'm sitting there looking at Meryl Streep giving her crazy diatribe at the dinner table of just being a fucking bitch, and it was like, you're literally giving a stage performance.
You know what? I actually,
on screen.
I was thinking about that. I think it works better as a play.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And there's a moment where Julia Roberts storms out of the house.
Uh-huh.
And as she's storming out of the house, I'm imagining her storming off stage left.
Yeah.
And it made more sense for her to storm stage left than storm out of the house.
Right.
And I don't know how to describe the performance, but all of the performances were, I'm trying to get to it. This is my problem. I don't know how
get to it.
I don't know how to get to it. This is my problem. The performance were so stagey that it just didn't make any sense. Like, they were... I don't know who was directing it and why they didn't tone them down, but there was, in their voices, it was like they were acting for the back row of the theater.
Right, projecting.
Projecting to the back row.
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever directed actors or dealt with actors, especially stage actors who are trained for the stage, they tend to overact because
everything has to be big.
Well, no, it's you
sure.
act for the last row
right.
because the last row has to see your
right.
performance. In film, the camera lens is your back row, so you have to tone down your performances quite a deal. Now, all of these actors are stage actors. I mean, Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts, they've all done stage stage stuff. Why they're translating that, and I think maybe Julia Roberts was the only one that was toned down, but Meryl Streep's performance was so fucking off the rails in terms of just overacting and chewing up the scenery that it was insane. Like, I get it, you're a drug addict, you got problems, you're a fucking bitch, and you're drunk and all of that stuff, and yeah, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and all that shit, but like, just chewing up the scene, it was annoying. I guess that if you're Meryl Streep, that just counts as,
I think you're allowed to.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt it really obnoxious.
Yeah, I mean, her crazy level got to a little bit too crazy.
Well, she was acting for the back row.
Yeah.
And not only that, and going back to, of course, my biggest complaint of the movie is I just didn't care. I didn't care about the characters.
You're right.
Even though there was a connection, I mean, you saw a connection in your own family, it wasn't even really made for you to. I mean, did you care about the characters?
Yeah, I was curious how they were going to resolve what they, because they each came in with their own set of, these are my
all
issues.
All of them had problems.
These
right.
are my issues.
Right.
And how does that get resolved? And it's basically like everybody says, fuck you.
Yeah.
So that's insane. That doesn't happen. But.
I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I relate with it. So, yeah, I could see it.
Okay. Yeah.
But like I said, that's 1,000 people. How much money did you want to make on? How did you want people to see the movie? You know.
Yeah, I guess. But there was one scene which this was.
The good thing. The line.
There's one scene which made us fucking rolling on the floor laughing because of just the way it was said and the context it was set in. And so Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep are having dinner, and Meryl Streep's on a rant being difficult.
And Julia Roberts taking care of her.
And Julia Roberts is fighting with a sister.
Right.
So she's in the middle of fighting with a sister, fighting with her mother, and she's doing this, like, she's trying to handle both things at once. And the maid has made them fish. And she's telling Meryl Streep, like, just eat your fish. Eat your fish. While she's trying to deal with the sister. Like, that's her version of shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Just eat your fish. Just shut up. Eat your fish. And Meryl Streep's being a child throwing a tantrum.
Right.
And in the middle, out of nowhere, Julia Roberts slams her fist down down on the table and yells at Meryl Streep, like, eat your fucking fish, bitch.
She left out fucking.
It was eat your fish, bitch.
Well,
if Scorsese had directed it, it would have been eat your fucking fish, bitch. But, eat your fish, bitch was...
Oh, and who doesn't want to say that to your parents?
No, that is like, we want to put that on t-shirts.
Yeah.
Sure.
Might be a new tagline at the end of the show.
We immediately turned at one another and was like, oh, that's a new line. The show.
Yeah, totally. We're using that one.
Put some cheese on that cracker and eat your fish, bitch.
Well, I think we need to make that mean something specific. So
your fish, bitch means shut up and do it.
Yeah, there you go.
I can easily translate that to writing.
Done and done.
Go write your script. Eat your fish, bitch. Okay, so I guess that's it. We still have Nebraska to watch at a certain point, but we'll get to that whenever we get to it. I hear Bruce Stern's performance is amazing, and Will Forte not doing something funny would be interesting to see.
Mm.
I guess, you know, now that we've seen everything that should be nominated, I guess the thing that I wanted to leave and talk about at the end of this is to wrap all this up, is that how disappointing this year was for me.
What?
We kind of had this discussion a little bit the other night where every year come Oscar season, there's always one movie that I instinctively feel like that is the best movie I've seen this year. And I liked Captain Phillips. I liked Lone Survivor.
I thought you said that about her.
I said maybe. I might have been.
You're not committing to that?
I liked her, but the thing the second half of that statement, when I see a movie that where I instantly, like, that's the best movie I've seen this year, the second half of that is, and that's why I'm still doing this. That's why I'm still going through this, because mm-hmm. I want to do that.
Yeah.
None of the movies okay. made me say, I want to do that. Like, none of them, and I don't know if I'm projecting, like, my own personal shit on movies, or I'm bittered by Hollywood right now, but
there's, or thinking about what you're writing, and that's not the same.
Yeah, but I mean, even I'm always thinking about my own writing and everything.
If anything, the statement is attempting to be original, even if you're writing based on a true story. Which, by the way, that kind of sounds like an easy place to start. Get a good true story and then just make it your own kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but it's
making it original.
It's not even that, because it's. No. That's.
I thought everything we saw had a lot of good original aspects to it.
Yeah, but I mean, think about our discussions in the past. Mm-hmm. Like last year, for me, like Flight was an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. You were enamored by Django Unchained. Mm-hmm. There was a couple other movies that I'm blanking on at the moment where we sat down and watched it and was like, that's fucking amazing. And there was nothing, I just felt like it was just a ho-hum year. And maybe part of the problem of that is that a lot of them were true stories. Like, I just feel like this year it was a lot of true stories. And then knowing the end results of most of those true stories, mm-hmm. like, we know Wolf of Wall Street goes to jail.
Right.
That's been known for 20 years.
Right.
We know Lone Survivor, as
we talked
about.
Because it's in the title. Right?
Yeah, it's in the title right. that he's going to be...
The only one.
We know Captain Phillips gets rescued. We know there's, 12 Years a Slave. We know he gets out. I don't know. I mean, there just wasn't
Gandhi,
anything this year.
We know he dies eventually.
I imagine ourselves being at a dinner party and have with our friends and saying, holy shit, did you see? And her probably comes the closest mm-hmm. to it, where because it was
be
so unique.
Say. Yeah.
But it still wasn't that, and that's why I want to make movies.
No, that was a... I cannot wait till life gets more technical than it is
yeah.
now. I would that just got me excited about. We should so do that.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it didn't. No, it didn't make me. I had because we've talked about this. It's very hard inventing something that isn't existing.
Yeah. Exactly.
In
exactly.
a script. And, when you're trying to think of a new type of gun that nobody or whatever,
right.
it's I mean, that's hard.
I guess if I had to talk about, you know, the Oscars, like, I usually know, and, you know, if you want to look at the Golden Globes, go through, anybody who didn't watch the Globes or doesn't give a shit or whatever, look up the list online of the winners and go through, it's all over the fucking map.
Yeah.
I mean, American Hustle got, and usually there's one clear choice. And what they do...
That stays consistent for certain
yes,
choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's always one clear choice, and you know what is going to happen. And then everybody else gets love spread around. So, like, if you're going to win the best director for a movie, and you are also involved, that movie is not going to win the script. You know,
right.
the best screenplay.
Right.
The movie, like, for example, 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture. But if 12 Years a Slave had not won Best Picture, it would have won Best Screenplay.
Right.
Like, they find a way to balance out the love for
right.
a movie.
Right.
Well, we didn't think you were that good, but we'll toss you screenplay
right.
or director or
right.
cinematography. Then you take... You know, your acting ones are always... It doesn't matter about the movie. It only matters about the performance. And, you know...
I don't know if I
for the most part
that.
For the most part usually best actor supporting actors is where unless you have a standout like Jared Leto their supporting actors are usually we got to give you something for the movie
right no I'm talking about statistics like when what is the last AIDS actor that
oh I don't know
been a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I tweeted after after McConaughey won, I tweeted, I go, okay, so I guess AIDS is this year's disease for an award next year. And then I joked that next year was going to be MS. Yeah, but it hasn't been done since, nobody's won since Tom Hanks for Philadelphia.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You never lose. That gives you almost a guarantee. If you're in a movie you are going to be the person with AIDS, you're getting an award.
Yes, but the movie's period. Not going to, I'm saying oh, yes, the movie's the not movie, going to get any yeah. love. So, yeah, I mean, looking at the Globes as a whole, it's just all over the fucking map. I mean, 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture, but didn't win anything else. Wait, I think Steve McQueen won for directing, maybe. Hmm. But, you know, it's this race between American Hustle and 12 Years a Slave. And honestly, we've already given our notes, but I'll reiterate it if there's anyone new listening. Is 12 Years a Slave was 20 minutes of original in the beginning, 10 minutes of original at the end, with Roots in the middle. And American Hustle was, like, we, in the middle of the movie, came up with a better ending than what the actual con was. And then when the con actually happened, it was kind of like, all right, well, I guess that works, too. And so that, like, it's just, there's another one. Like, American hypothetically, if we had not done that, I would probably say American Hustle was the best movie of the year.
If we had not done what?
If we had not poisoned the well by coming up with a better idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if we had just watched it and
shut up.
And
yeah,
shut
that
up.
That doesn't happen.
Which doesn't happen. That, I maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, I felt like this year was kind of lackluster. And even when I think about, like, the tentpole movies, and the summer was kind of mildly disappointing.
Mm.
You know. With the exception of
it's almost so much easier when there's just one clear big, you know, like one movie comes out and everybody is like.
Well, I mean, like,
ah!
Like
I mean, it was spread out, you know, as far as who likes what and da da da.
I loved Iron Man 3, and I thought that was extremely enjoyable, and I loved what Shane Black did, and it was a different kind of Iron Man, and it was a little bit darker than the previous two, but it still wasn't like I felt like. That's a really nice addition to the Marvel Universe.
Right.
And
it's not Titanic. There's nothing Titanic.
Yeah, but I mean, even... Well, there were many attempts to be Titanic this year. I mean,
I think so.
Lone Ranger was supposed to be Titanic. After Earth was supposed to be Titanic. Oblivion was supposed to be Titanic.
Right.
World War Z. But there's... I don't know. There was just something missing this year from the wow, the emotional wow factor of like, fuck, this is why I'm doing this because this is awesome.
Yeah. Inspiration.
Yeah, I guess so. And at the same time, none of which I felt like, with the obsession of the ending of American Hustle, there was never a moment of like, yeah, well, I also didn't feel like, well, we could do that better. Like,
American Hustle, I totally could see. The scenes to do it the other way.
You know, I'm a huge Woody Allen nerd. Like, anybody who ever... Like, I drove people crazy in grad school with my Woody Allen obsession. And even his movies, like, you have to be in the mood for them. Because there's a special...
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of talking. Like, no spoilers here, but there's actually a Woody Allen attempt at a twist at the end of Blue Jasmine.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that much of a twist, but it was like, oh, A for effort on that one. Like, because it made both of us go like, oh.
Yeah.
There's a reveal, I guess. Not a twist, a reveal.
There were a couple, actually, I want to say. In her thinking back.
Oh, sure. But the end all
yeah,
be
the,
all
the one
of
that was
why
the,
she is the way she is was a reveal. And I guess, like... It still wasn't like...
We hadn't guessed it.
No, we didn't. You're right. It was...
Until it was like, they're saying it right now, blah, 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 I'm going to guess it. It was literally right on top of when they were revealing it.
Right.
And it was like, ah, that doesn't count.
Anyway, so I guess that's going to wrap up our show this week.
It is.
We don't have anything else to say about the Globes, and I guess not until we talk about the Oscars will this conversation come up again. But...
If it's the same shit, no.
Maybe. We'll see.
Then we'll just make fun of the show.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. Anything else?
No.
Nope. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Put some cheese on that cracker.
Peace out.
Eat some fish, bitch.
Eat your fish, bitch. Who asked you, Patrice?
Nice How I Met Your Mother reference.
Yes. Mopping floors, next week is the fries, so stick by his side. I know his dudes ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head. Let me hear that back.